middle of the page. Amr of Yosef.
I took the one book.
Yeah. What did you take?
What book are we doing?
Ksubis.
I took the one book. I think from God's way, so. Oh, well.
Okay. Amr of Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Higdilu, these kids, we learned that you could megayre them al das bevstin, right? You put them in the bris, mikveh, and you table them, and they become Jewish based on the opinion of bevstin, right? So Rav Yosef says, though, Higdilu yichelun limchis. But when they get older, they can renounce the conversion. Remember, we learned this. So Esri Abaye asked the question like this. It says in our Mishnah, Hagiyeres vashvuyah vashivcha, a convert, a captive, or a slave girl, female, right? All. Shenivdu v'shenizgayu v'shenishtachru, that were redeemed, converted, or became freed, p'chutz mi ba'shalushana v'yemechot. If they converted or were freed less, when they were less than 3 years old, k'subasem asayim the k'subas $200. It means a full k'suba. That means like this. If a girl converted, she was under three. The Gemara says, how much is a ksuba? $200. Correct? Means a full ksuba. So the Gemara is going to ask, but if you could say when they become an adult, they can cancel the conversion. Yeah, even like ksuba, the ozlo v'alchubi giyusa. That means like this. You're giving her a full ksuba. Yeah? What's going to happen? The Gemara says, she can, because she converted when she was a kid, under three, she can renounce the conversion and become a goy again. Right? So you're going to give her a full ksuba that she should spend the money when she's a goy?
What kind of question is that? She's a full-fledged Jew. So?
No, but at 13, she can, I mean 12, the girl. At 12, she can denounce the whole thing and so become a goy.
Doesn't matter, any woman can do that.
Yeah, no.
What?
A born Jew can never renounce a religion.
Can go and divorce.
Yeah, but then if he divorces her, he pays it. Here, the woman's doing it. She cancels the conversion. She's going to get a full ksuba. And as Gemara says, if you tell me that she can stop being Jewish, right? So then you're giving her. So Gemara says, no, l'chi gadla. You don't give it to her until she's an adult. In other words, even if she got divorced earlier, you don't pay her the ksuba until she becomes an adult. Once she's an adult, she can't cancel it anymore. She can't denounce the conversion because she's an adult.
The question looks like discrimination because she's a goy, become a goy, so we shouldn't give her like... What?
Because goyim don't have ksuba monies.
Huh?
Ksuba is a Jewish thing, right? So why should you give a girl who potentially will become a goy again such an expensive ksuba?
But what is the ketubah? Protection for the wife, right?
That he shouldn't divorce her. But he's going to divorce her as a kid. That's the story. Otherwise, how does she get a ksuba? Right? He's going to marry the girl. Mm-hmm. Okay? She converted under three. He marries her when she's five. Ksuba is 200 duz.
Okay.
So Gemara says, 2 years later when she's seven, the husband's going to divorce her. And she's going to get such an expensive ksuba that she's going to use when she's a shiksa. So the Gemara answers, no, you don't give her it until she becomes an adult.
So what's the difference?
Because once she becomes an adult, she can't renounce the conversion anymore.
Yeah.
And then she stays Jewish. And that's when you give her the ksuba.
Oh, so question is between 3 and 12.
Right. And then the Gemara says, "Kivin shegdila shoachas v'leim michasa," because once she becomes an adult and doesn't protest, ain't echol limchis, she cannot renounce it anymore.
So if we give her ketubah, we're not going to give it to her.
We don't pay it until she's for sure going
to
be Jewish.
Right.
Okay. Now at the bottom, he brings down a very interesting question, just a practical question: when does the person renounce their conversion? Okay? Rav Yosef said that she converts, let's say, at 7, 8, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter. When she becomes 12, she can renounce it. But if she lives as a Jew at 12,
that's it.
She's Jewish. So, like, practically speaking, when does she renounce? When does she say, I don't want to be Jewish?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like when?
She can't do it before.
She can't do it before she's an adult.
Why not?
Because a cotton's actions are worthless. She can't do it.
Once she turns an adult,
it's too late. Like, so when, he says like this, how is it possible someone converted as a minor to ever renounce his conversion? For Rav Yosef said that they may renounce it when they become adults, implying that before they become adults, they can't. Right? But now we have said that if they do not renounce it the moment they become adults, it's too late to renounce it. Mm-hmm. So it seems that they only have one brief moment, like a split second, as soon as the birthday is starting, they can, but that's, come on, it's not unrealistic.
No, it's not. She waits, she sits. Oh, one second.
So Tesis Hashanim answers, renounce it like this. Before they become an adult, she already lives like a goy. That the second she becomes an adult, she's already not living like a Jew.
But still not renouncing it.
That's living like a goy is renouncing it.
Why can't she just sit in front of Beis Din an hour before? As soon as she becomes a, she says, I renounce it, finish. I mean, what's the big deal?
Okay, it's similar really to the Stasis Yishonim answer. Let's see it inside. It says, by acting as Gentiles before they reach adulthood and continuing in that manner past the day of their adulthood, so from the moment of their adulthood, they're in a continuous state of living like a guy. Others answer that the right to renounce does not lapse after the first moment of adulthood unless we see the person acting in a way that is clearly Jewish. Meaning, as long as he has not done anything that only Jews do, he could still renounce the conversion. That means, according to this answer, even if it's a week after they turn 12, or 13 if it's a boy, if you don't see him acting like a Jew, they still have a right to denounce it. If they lived like they put tefillin on, then you can't anymore. Or, as Rashba answers, that even this does not prevent him from renouncing his conversion. Reaching adulthood, this is what he holds. The convert must be informed of the rewards and punishment associated with mitzvah observance, and only if he continues to observe the mitzvahs after being informed, then he stays a Jew. So there's different answers how it's possible to renounce. In fact, this is even a big debate today. When you convert a kid, yeah, what do you do on his 13th birthday or 12th birthday? What do you do? What do you do? Do you have to ask him, do you want to be Jewish? Or do you just do a mitzvah with them and say, isn't it good being a Jew? Or what happens if they're not religious and the day the bar mitzvah goes by and they're not living like a Jew? They're not eating kosher. Because the parents are not religious, let's say, yeah? They're not keeping kosher. They're not.
They're not religious, so you ask them.
Are they Jewish?
No.
They're not Jewish anymore?
No. Why should they be? They are not living like a Jew. They don't want to be a Jew. I mean, that's the whole intention.
That's one of the answers. If you don't tell them about Yiddishkeit and say, do you want to, you know, some poskim hold, you have to ask them, do you want to be Jewish?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, it's not so simple. Because according to the other Rishonim, one second. According to the other Rishonim, okay, as long as he doesn't actively do something goyish, he might be a Jew. It's a very delicate thing. Yeah. That's why...
He identifies as a Jew.
But identifies as a Jew in what way?
The parents are...
They have a garage in Pico?
No.
Without the word Torah?
No, but it is.
They are Jewish.
On Yom Kippur, they understand it's Yom Kippur.
No.
The parents are not Jewish.
We're talking on the day of his birthday. What do you do?
Rabbi.
What do you know?
That's why, by the way, a Beis Din, or from Beis Din, is not going to convert a kid if the parents are not from. Because what's going to happen when the kid becomes bar mitzvah? Mm-hmm. Then you have a question, is he a Jew or is he not a Jew?
Well, most of those parents will probably go to conservative based in.
Talking, they come to an Orthodox person. That's what they... What?
I thought at 12 or 13, they're about that a little bit. So they make a decision. It is
so I'm asking you. The question is in halacha. must you ask them clearly, do you want to be a Jew? Or you just let them do a mitzvah that day, and they put on tefillin, let's say. You make sure they put on tefillin
that
day.
That's a gimmick.
But it's a gimmick that works. Because if they lived like a Jew that day, and you tell them, isn't it good? Isn't it wonderful putting on tefillin, being bar mitzvah?
Well, how do you know? They may say no.
Yeah, these are different opinions. It's a very practical. It's a big problem.
The question is, let's get back to the Orthodox version. Wouldn't these kids know beforehand they're
babies when the parents adopt them?
I know that, but wouldn't they know by the time they get to 12
I got a call this yesterday. This couple wants to adopt a baby from birth. No, it's today, in fact. They want to adopt a baby from birth. Yeah, you know, what's the? I said, are the parents from? They said no. So I said, so which person is going to convert them?
From birth.
No, some not the. They're not the biological mothers. They adopted the kid when the kid was born.
Oh, Ben was
the biological mother is not Jewish, and this couple, this Jewish couple, is adopting the kid.
Is they Orthodox?
How old is the boy? I mean, the kid.
It's newborn.
So what's the question?
It's not a Jew. The baby's not
no,
a Jew.
But it's a baby. But according to this halacha,
yeah.
It's automatically a Jew until 12.
Yeah, but Rabbi says they're not...
But they have to be converted. The kid has to go to the mikveh in front of a bezdin.
The parents are
how do you think they convert kids today?
So when she's 12 or he's 12, then she goes to the to mikveh. What is this halacha here? Right now it says if a baby before 3.
From family. The one's talking about Fraya people over here.
No, from family. Oh, this the ones that called you, they are not from?
A shliach called me. Uh-huh. And I asked him, are the people from? He said no.
Oh, they're from the people. I thought they okay.
Shliach's not from baby also. But the question is, I said no person is going to convert the kid.
So the parents who want to adopt this kid is not from.
Why didn't you let the rabbi first say this?
Okay, bite it.
I have a question for you though.
What?
Okay, so let's get back to the from family. So the from family adopts this kid, right? By the time he's bar mitzvah at 13, wouldn't he know before he's been adopted before then?
Not necessarily.
He does know he's adopted.
They don't necessarily tell you. Today, they don't tell you.
They don't tell you you've been adopted.
Okay, Masiv, Rav.
You don't look at anybody in the family, but you know?
Masiv, Rav, ask the question like this.
You don't look like anybody in the family.
A different question, the same question like Abaya, but differently.
Okay.
Eilu nayru she'eshlam knas. You know, if you violate the girl, you have to pay a knas. The Torah says you have to give a fine of 50 shekels. Okay. So it says, these are the girls that you have to pay knas to. A bala mamzeres, if somebody violates a girl who's a mamzer, or nesina, or kusyas, you know, we learned the various kshailas if they're Jewish or not, whatever. Or alagiyedis vala shvuya vala shivcha, or again, a convert, or a captive, or a shivcha. Shenivto vishin is guide over the nishtachlu that they redeemed, converted, or freed. Less than 3 years in 1 day, yeshnam knas. Now, Abayu was talking, it's very important to know. Abayu was talking about how much the ksuba is. And Rav is asking from the same din, also less than 3, but about paying knas. So what do you see from here? That if somebody, God forbid, violated a girl who converted under 3, you have to pay knas, right? So again, the same question. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me that they can renounce the conversion when they're 12, you're going to pay her the knas that she's going to spend as a shiksa. Why does the Torah make you pay it? Same question about the ksuba. Mm-hmm, yes. And the Gemara answers the same thing, l'chi godla. You give it to when she's an adult. So again, the Gemara asks, so she'll renounce it after she's an adult. The same question people said. My answer, no. Given shegdila, sha'achas v'leim michasa, once she lived her 12th year as a Jew, she can never not renounce it anymore. Okay? So Abaye and Rava are both asking a question of Yosef. Rav Yosef said a statement that if the girl wants to, or boy, wants to renounce the conversion, they could. Right? You megayer them as a kid, but if they want, at 12 or 13, boy and girl, they can denounce it. So Abai asked a question from a din of ksuba. Why would you give a girl a ksuba if she can renounce it? And Abrava asked a question about knas, right? So now the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Why did Abai and Rava ask basically the same question from two different places? That means Abai asked only from his place because the other place wouldn't be a question. And Rava said only my place is a question, not the other place. So the Gemara is going to discuss now why. So Gemara says, Abai Eliyama Kurava, why did Abai ask from Ksuba rather than Knas? He says, because Knas is another reason. I would think by Knas he give a term. Why? You don't want the guy that raped her to gain. What are you going to say? Don't give her to Knas because maybe she'll become a shiksa. But then the guy that raped her, or molested, or violated, or whatever, is going to not pay the Knas. So Abai says, no, come on, that's maybe over there, that's why you pay it. Rava al le'ame kabaya. So why didn't Rava say like Abai about Ksuba? He says, Ksuba in the time of Shulete Kalabain of Leitziah. The whole reason why Chacham instituted Ksuba is that you shouldn't divorce your wife easily, right? But as a Ktana, she's still Jewish. So the Chachamim don't want her to lose a Ksuba, because then the guy will just divorce her. So they made it, maybe that's why you have to pay the Ksuba of a full amount. But therefore, but the bottom line of the Gemara is, Alocha, when they get older, they can renounce it.
The Gemara is clear that you don't ask her question or anything, you just let it go.
That's not what the Rishonim write.
I know, but
in fact, Taisus writes Halikvar Godla, but she's a Naida. So Taisus says the Chigodla, and she lived like a Jew. Then she's a Jew. Listen, you can have the same problem. You have a frum couple. This is a practical case, yeah. A frum couple adopts a non-Jewish baby. Okay, they don't have whatever. They adopt a non-Jewish baby, yeah. And they megayer the kid kalocha because it's a frum family, yeah? But the kid is a rebellious kid. A boy or girl, 13 or 12, and they don't want to be Jewish. So technically, there could be a very big problem. Because if the kid that they adopted and raised at 12 or 13, girl and boy, said, I don't want to be Jewish, then the kid's a guy.
But do they necessarily tell the kid he's adopted?
So the question is, do you have to tell them?
Right.
Do you have to tell them? So there's one way of dealing with it. First of all, today a lot of things are open. Not like years ago, nobody knew. Okay, today a lot of people know. Secondly, they try to make the kid do things on their bar mitzvah that you tell them, oh, isn't it wonderful being bar mitzvah? Look at the party you're having today. And so they say, yeah, it's wonderful. But some opinions say, like you brought down from the Rashba says, no, you have to tell them, listen, this is the pros and cons of being Jewish. Do you want it? What do you do then if the kid says no?
So
then you got big problems.
Why problem? She's what? Not. So she's not a Jew.
What, are you going to just dump her in the street?
Not dump her, she's not.
13
years. What, are you going to just dump her in the street?
It's not the coins of time.
All the tuition you pay for them?
you don't tell them anything.
We want to make sure Neshama is in the real Neshama of a Jew. So it's not.
You think it's really, really easy for a frum couple raising a guy? I'm asking you.
No, it's not. But we are concerned about if Neshama is a Jew or not.
No more day school.
So I'm saying, so what do? They try to make it a way the kid should say it's nice being a Jew.
No more day schools.
Yeah, take the wish.
Even if the child does say, yes, it's good to be Jewish, but maybe in a month, or doesn't...
No. Once they live like a Jew, that's it.
One day.
Yeah. But if you know that they're not going to continue, it's like to their detriment.
Yeah, but hopefully they're from raised from. Hopefully it's
have you ever seen something like that?
What?
What you just mentioned.
That the kid turned up. No, I didn't.
Well, by that time, they're fully immersed in the program.
Yeah, but you hope they stay.
Rebbe says that they're adopted. You say that he's adopted, or they shouldn't say that?
No, one of the issues that Rebbe brings down is because by adoption, the tendency is not to tell them. So then you have bigger problems with ichud and touching. So the Rebbe said there's nothing to do with people used to raise orphans.
Right.
Years ago, people died young. Mm-hmm. And there were orphans. Mm-hmm. And people took orphans into the house.
Right.
But they knew they weren't their children. The kid knew they weren't the child. And the adults knew that. So they were careful with yichud, touching, all the things that you need to be careful with. But if an adoption that you're trying to hide the fact that they're adopted, you want to make it like the natural kids, so then it's much more, it's much harder.
Is better to say?
You have to, yeah.
Then they know at least.
Yeah.
So the parents cannot play with the kid.
In other words, adopt the kid. In other words, the mother can't hug a son who's after he's a certain age.
Halachically not.
Well, it's not considered as a child once you adopt them.
If it's not biological, it's not your child. That's what the Torah says.
This is what the parents do, and they don't want to take.
There are issues. There are issues. If they're from, they're careful.
They cannot be alone.
Right?
They cannot be alone either.
Zichud. If a family adopts a girl, there are a lot of from families that adopted kids, right? If a from family adopts a girl, okay, and the mother's not home, what's the problem with yichud?
Adoption doesn't change the status?
No.
Because not biological.
Does adoption make the kid automatically Jewish?
No.
It's not your child. Those are the issues that have to be dealt with. I'm not saying they're not able to be dealt with, but there's issues that need to be dealt with.
Adopt two more girls.
Okay.
No, another, you adopt a boy.
So what happens then?
That's not going to help anyway.
Made it worse.
Okay, so what happens? So what happens?
You can have a big
okay.
Party.
Let's go. Mishnah. Hagadol Shabbal Aktanam. Okay. Now the Gemara is discussing also, right? The Gemara is over here discussing Ksubas, right? With the Gemara Ksubas. So the Gemara is discussing the concept of a Ksuba. Hagadol Shabbal Aktana, an adult male that had relations with a girl under Bas Mitzvah. Okay? No, hear me, less than 3 years old. Vakatan Shabbal Aktana, or a minor boy that had relations with an adult. Now, for these dinim, a minor for a girl means under 3, and for a boy under 9.
Wow.
A girl is under 3, and a boy is under 9.
That's a minor?
In this Gemara.
Wow.
Because the relations, the intimacy of a 9-year-old is valid. He's able to have relations. A girl over 3 is able to have relations. A boy under 9 can't have. Well, we discussed in the past, if a 10-year-old boy had relations with a married woman, okay, so she gets killed for adultery. He doesn't get killed because he's a minor.
Oh, she's married.
Correct?
Yep.
Now, if a man has relations with a married 5-year-old. Okay, let's say girls got married very young, yeah? And an adult had relations with a 5-year-old girl who's married. He gets killed because she's an adultery. She's a married woman. And nothing happens to her because she's under Bas Mitzvah.
Oh.
So as far as what we consider nine until as far as...
What the Mishnah is talking about now, minor. It must be about the ksuba, that's all. Gadol Shabbal Aktana, an adult male that had relations with a girl under 3. Or Katan Shabbal Agdela, a katan that had, meaning under 9, had relations with an adult woman. Or Mukas H, it's a piece of wood. In other words, in that area, a piece of wood went in and broke her besulim, broke her hymen. Okay? Subasim asayim, the ksuv is still $200. Okay? Why? Meaning, what does that mean? If she marries afterwards, so then she's considered a psula and the ksuv is $200.
Even though she's not betula.
Right, because it was under 3. Under three, the virginity comes back. Sulasel Chayzen in the Gemara says. Or, the same thing, a boy under nine, because that's not called relations, because he's not capable, right? So therefore, she's still considered a psula. Or, a woman that was mucus eitz, meaning a wood was stuck into the vaginal area and took away the psula. So even though she's technically not a virgin, right? But nevertheless, the ksuba is still 200.
So the boy doesn't have to give ksuba either.
No, I'm saying, well, she gets married later to another guy.
Okay, Ben, he...
This case not by... If the girl later gets married, her ksuba is $200.
Oh. This woman,
look at this. Right. Chachamim aimim, chachamim argue, and say, mukas h, ksuba samana. Her ksuba is only $100.
She's not katana.
No, Mukas Eitz is a good day, right. Mukas Eitz is not a case of a little girl. It's a woman. Yeah. By the way, it doesn't have to be a Mukas Eitz. It could be tampons. It could be a lot of other things that could undo the psulim. Okay, now. Psula, Amona, Grusha, Vachalutza. A psula who's a widow, okay, a divorcee, or a chalutza minanasuin, for marriage, subasamana. That means, what happens if a couple got married, they never consummated the marriage, so she's still a psula, the husband dies, her ksub is only $100, not 200.
It's not Gerusha then.
Huh?
And it's not Gerusha. If the husband died, there's not.
No, but I'm saying this, psula almana means a psula. A psula is a widow, or a divorcee, or if she's still...
It can't be all together, four together. No, it can't be.
No, it's each one separate.
Oh, separate.
Psula, who's an almana, grusha v'chalutza. That's what it means. Like Rashi says, psula, which who is an almana, or a grusha, or a chalutza. Oh. But she's still a psula.
Okay.
Then, because she was married, the ksuba is $100.
How could the psula be... And she didn't have.
She got married and the guy died.
He died the night of the wedding.
I've been to a wedding like that.
Yeah, from happiness.
I've been to a wedding like that. The father died at the wedding.
No, you're talking about the father of the girl. You're talking about.
You're
talking about the chosen died.
I went to a wedding with the father, the bride died, and the dad's
blood. I know. And therefore. Mishnah continues on the next page. And on Tainus Psulim. You can't claim that there was no, she's not a Psulim. Because Uksub is only 100. Right? That means we're still assuming that she's not. What? Because once she's married, there's an automatic assumption that she's not a Psulim. So therefore, if she's married, how can the guy come along and say, she's not a virgin? Yeah, of course she's not. She's married. Right? If she was married, then the guy can't say that she's not a virgin.
She was betula before, now she's married.
Yeah, it's because...
That's why the ksub is only 100. And because the ksuba is only 100, therefore he can't say, I want to undo the marriage because she's not a virgin, because that's why we're giving you a ksuba of 100. Because we assume that she's not a virgin.
We are not talking about the case of...
What? There's an automatic assumption that they're not a virgin if she's married.
You're not like a mukat etz anymore.
No. Oh, also, mukat etz also. What are you saying? Because we're giving her ksuba of 100, the husband can come along and say she's not a psula. Yeah, that's why we're giving her ksuba of 100, because she's not a psula. Right? The whole vart is, the guy says this marriage is a mistake, because I married a psula and she's not. But if there's an assumption when you're marrying her that she's not a psula, mm-hmm. So what are you complaining about? Mm. That's the assumption.
Is that the case where the guy also gets punished or beaten up? Because they say that in the case where... How would you know? Something like
no,
that.
No, not in this case. Then he says like this, Agiyeres Vashvuya, okay? All these cases we learned before, but before we learned they converted less than 3 years old. Now the Gemara is going to say they converted over 3 years old. So a girl who converted, or a captive, or a slave, Shenivto Vishinizgal Vinishtachru, Yuseiris Albane Sholoshonavim Achot, over the age of 3? Yeah? Ksubasimon, again, the Ksuba is 100. And they cannot be tainus psun. You can't assume, say, hey, she's not a virgin.
So this is obvious. Why did that?
Why? You don't know for sure she's not a virgin. There's an assumption she's not a virgin.
After 3?
Yeah.
After 3, it's not anymore chozer. So.
I understand. But I'm saying, if a girl converted when she was 5, okay, the Gemara says like this, there's an assumption in halacha that goyim fool around.
Yeah.
From the youngest of ages. So therefore, if a 5-year-old girl converts, yeah, and she's, I'm still a virgin, the din is, yes, ksuba is anyway 100. Because there's a halacha chazaka that she fooled around.
I'm saying,
if she was a convert, I mean a captive,
sure.
So again, there's an assumption that she was raped.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So even though she says I wasn't, there's a chazaka that doesn't agree with her. So therefore the Mishnah says her ksuba is 100. Because we're assuming she's not a virgin. Once the ksuba is 100, that there's an assumption she's not a virgin, the husband can't say she's not a virgin. Right. And have complaints that she's not a virgin. Right. Because that's the assumption that she's not a virgin, so stop complaining.
But it's obvious though. We have
that what?
These cases, the first cases are not obvious. Why the Mishnah has to say it even?
What are you talking about? This is a big chiddush of the Mishnah.
Everybody knows after 3, none of
every shiksa is automatically not a virgin.
That's the Gemara says it all the time.
That where does the Gemara get it from? From this Mishnah.
Oh, this is the Makor of it.
I said, why do you have to keep? Of course, you have to keep Shabbos. It says in the Torah you have to keep Shabbos. That's exactly what you're asking.
No, I didn't know
that. How do you know that you have to keep Shabbos? Because the Torah says. See, tell me, well, of course you have to keep Shabbos. The Torah says, yeah.
No, I didn't know this is the Makor.
This is it. Okay. So let's see Rashi in the Mishnah. Habal Aktana. Now, the first case of the Mishnah, Rashi says, is speaking Pchusimi Bas Sholosh. Right? Less than 3. That's why she gets a ksuba of 200, right? Because she's assumed to be a psula. She biyasibia, because under 3 it's not called in intimacy. She b'sula chayzin, the virginity comes back. Or a katan. What do you mean a katan? Not under bar mitzvah means pachus min ben teisha, less than 9. Shamer chachamim ain biyasibia. His bia is not a bia. Ubal agdel and had relations with a gdela.
Where did they get this number from?
Halacha, Moshe, Mishnah? No, the Gemara says a 9-year-old is capable of physically doing it. Umukah says, what's Umukah says mean? Sheniskala ate by Isamakim. They put a she, whatever happened that the stick went in that area. So then Ksuba also Messiah. In all these cases, the Ksuba is 200. Why? When? Imna Sali Shachri Chain. If she got married afterwards, right, after the guy lived with her, whatever. If she got married plain, and if she didn't stipulate, yes, virgin, not virgin. She just got married, so how much is the ksuba? $200. Psula, which is either an almana or a grusha or a chalutza, minanasuyin, okay? So he says, kagain shenichnasa luchupa, she went, got married, umeiz baila, and the husband died becheske shalei nivala. And the assumption that she didn't, that the husband didn't, wasn't with her. Then ksubas amanim nisis la'acher, if she got married to somebody else, then the ksub is 100. Why? Because the Rashi says, there's a chazaka that the second you get married, you're a ba'ula. Marriage automatically makes you, that you're not a virgin. So as soon as you go to a chuppah, you're already not a virgin. You can't make her lose that extra 100. Cheskes psulim nesaticha. I married you as a virgin, and it's a mekach tois. That 100 she keeps. Why? Because all these people, there's a chazaka that they're not a psula. So in other words, like this: if there's a chazaka, she's a psula. That means an established fact, because it was under 3, or the boy was under 9, or it was with a stick. So then the din is she gets $200. If she gets $200, the husband, mina psula ksuba, so the husband then could come along and say, 1 minute, she wasn't a virgin. And the whole story, like we learned before in the Gemara. What happens though if she was married? So then the assumption is she did have, she's not a psula anymore. So therefore the ksuba is 100. And because of that, the husband, the next husband, can't say she wasn't a virgin. That's why we're giving her $100, because the assumption is she's not a virgin. Okay. Okay. So now the Gemara says like this.
Was it common, those things?
Huh?
Was it common, these things, those things, or?
Very common.
Not now.
What? 3-year-old men getting married?
It's not common like but it used to be like common, right?
Shivuya.
That's common?
Shivuya.
3-year-old?
Huh?
3-year-old getting married is common?
I mean, it happened. Rivka got married at 3 according to Rashi.
Yeah, she was also feeding camels at that time.
Okay, so.
My grandmother married 9. So it was 9.
Yeah, 9.
9.
At 9.
What? Wow. What happens if there's a mistake between 100 and 200 on the ketubah? Yeah. What do you do with the ketubah? Let's say that they put 100 and should be 200.
He?
Or vice versa.
After I hope he was 10 or
more. They should then they'll get 200.
They have to change the ketubah. They have to write a new one.
Yeah.
Because you cannot just cross over.
Right. Right.
What if she proves to them that she's still a virgin? They wrote it.
She married 100 from her birth.
Well, she'd have to prove it pretty strong, because the chazaka says, after soon as you get married.
Can they have examination? No.
They could.
But the doctor bring you.
They could examiner? Today, I guess.
Back then, they could also.
Right, but the question: what the belief do they have?
What.
You mean do the wine test?
Yeah.
Put on a barrel of wine, remember if the smoke comes out of the mouth? You know, before the Gemara.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that one. What's that?
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
No, the Gemara wanted to see if somebody was still a virgin. So then Gamliel put her on a barrel of wine, mm-hmm, that was open.
Right.
And if wine came out of her mouth, that means it was
the
open.
The smell of it came out of the mouth.
Otherwise not.
Wow.
The Chayyim and Gemara could have said the easier thing. They went to a doctor and checked. I mean,
they couldn't check.
Why?
I don't know. They must have not been able to.
I don't know. Breathalyzer test. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav is also a very strange argument between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, Katan Abala Gdela, a boy under 9. Meaning, again, under 9. Lived with an adult. Also mukasates. He renders her a mukasates. In other, what?
No, it's as though, yeah.
Meaning, what Rav is saying, that even though that a boy under 9 cannot really have relations, but it's not any different than the stick. And therefore, her ksub is 100. That's what Rav said. Shmuel Amar. I mean, the Rav Yehuda continues. Kamri say, "Kamri to Shmuel." When I said Rav's dinner in front of Shmuel, Amar Emoka says, "Bavasser." There's no such thing as through physical human flesh that it can be considered that she's not. In other words, according to Shmuel, she's still a virgin. Right? That's what Shmuel holds.
But if it's Katan al Gedola, it could be like even not Gedola, it has a relation, it would be the same thing, no?
Yeah.
No, Rashi said it's not worse than this. It's not really Mukatzetz, but it says it's not worse than Mukatzetz.
Yeah.
So he's not making it exactly like a Mukatzetz.
Yeah, but Rashi, what Rashi says, that means that the ksub is 100. Mm-hmm. Right? Then the ksub is 100.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not like Reb Meir.
Yeah.
The Chum's opinion.
Like Shemur.
The Mukas.
Like Shemur.
No. In the Mishnah it says, Mukas says Reb Meir holds the ksub is 200. Chachamim say Mukas says the ksub is 100.
Uh-huh.
Correct? Nice. Now who's a halacha like? The Chachamim. Mm-hmm. Right? So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that if a kid under the age of 9 had relation with a woman, it's the same thing as Mukasets.
Like Rabbanim.
And Shmuel said there's no such thing. It's either, in other Shmuel holds, either if a person does it, it's either a proper thing that makes her not in Psula, or if it's under 9, she still stays in Psula. That's what Shmuel does. Okay, so Mario says, Ika Damasnala Shmaitza Bapi Nafshi. Some people learn it not that Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav and then went to Shmuel, and you know, there's just a clear argument between Rav and Shmuel in the case itself. Ika Damasnala Shmaitza Bapi Nafshi. Kotan Abalag Deilo, a kid under 9 who had relations with an adult. Rav Amaso Mukasates. Rav says she became a Mukasates, and Shmuel Amma E Mukasates Babas. Okay? That's what it says.
What is that expression?
What?
Yishamata kapei nafsha.
Huh? Shemaita bapei nafsha. It's an independent, again, the first story of the Gemara was, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said it then. And then he said, when I came to Shmuel, Shmuel said differently. So he said, no, there's another version. Not that he came. There was an argument between Rav and Shmuel. A gdeil, a katan. That had relations with an agdela, meaning kid under 9, had relations with an adult, girl, woman. So Rav says she's a mukasait, and Shmuel says she's not a mukasait.
That they heard it in front of each other's
right.
Face.
No.
The apinafshe.
No, that's not what it means. Apinafshe means an independent one. That's what it means. That's what the expression means. Okay. Masav Raveshius, Raveshius, a question from our Mishnah. Yeah. Said in the Mishnah, Gdela Shabalaktano, an adult male, I mean, right, who had relations with a girl under 3, or Katan Abala Gdela, exactly the case of Agnes, Katan that had relations with a Gdela, Umukas 8, Ksubasa Masayim Divrei Rav Meir. Right? But Mukas 8, Ksubasa Mana, Chachamim say. Now, according to Rav, a cotton that goes with a gdail is also a ksubas amana. But the Chachamim only say mukas 8 ksubas 100. If Rav says that a cotton that lived with a gdail makes it like a mukas 8 that the ksubas 100, so then the Chachamim should argue on a mayor in both cases. Not only mukas 8, but even by a cotton that had relation with a gdail. The Mishnah says three cases. Gadol Abala Ktana, Gdela, Katan Abala Gdela, and Mukas Eitz. Right? Adult with a girl under 3, a boy under 9 with an adult woman, or Mukas Eitz. And Rav Meir says the Ksuba is 200. Comes on the Chacham and says, no, Mukas Eitz is 100. But according to Rav, the Ktana that lived with the Gdela is also 100. So why did the Chacham only say Mukas 8? Right? It's the same thing. Amar Rava, your Rava says, you're right. We have to turn around the Mishnah a little bit. Ha'achikam, this is what the Mishnah really means. God al-abal al-ktanav al-eklum. Okay? Meaning, an adult that lives with a girl under 3, leiklum, it's nothing. It's as if he didn't be with her, right? Under 3. Therefore, how much is a ksuba? 200. Why? In the Gemara, the Mishnah explains why. Right? The pachas mikan under 3, it's like nice and etzba ba'ayin dummy. It's like you stick a finger in the eye, yeah, meaning it you tear a little bit, and then it goes back to normal. So same thing, bia with a girl under 3 is like nothing. Katan ala bala gudela, This is the way Rav learns the Mishnah. But a katan under 9 that had relations with an adult woman, asa mukas eitz. He makes it like a mukas eitz. And mukas eitz gufa is an agami to a man drabanan. In other words, the Gemara learns the Mishnah like this according to Rav. That if the adult lives with a girl under 3, nothing. There's no nothing. A boy that lives with a girl, a boy under 9 lives with a girl, makes her mukas eitz. And mukas eitz is an argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim if it's 100 and 200. So Rav learns that the Chachamim are also arguing on the case of the kid that was with the adult, and it's also 100. That's the way they learn the Mishnah.
They disagree upon the price. They disagree upon the price.
They disagree on the price. Okay, let's see Rashi. Second line from the top. Asa mukas eitz, right? Nami ein biasa bia. The bia is not considered a bia. Mi legarim eitz aniska. Rabban the pliga mukas eitz ksubasim ona. Okay? It's interesting that the chachamim that argue that the mukas eitz ksub is 100, yeah? Mm-hmm. Also, the kain gadol cannot marry her. If she's not a virgin, in other words, like this, a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Besula. Now, if a girl was mukas eitzed, okay, right? Yeah. Is she a Besula or not?
No, because Betula Chozeret.
No,
an she's adult girl with a stick.
Yeah. Oh, no.
She's not Besula.
Okay, now, according to the mayor, that the ksub is Masayim, meaning she's a psula.
Yeah, she can marry a Kohen Gadol.
According to the mayor, she can marry a Kohen Gadol.
Right.
But if the Chachamim hold the ksub is 100, that means the stick makes a non-virgin.
Right.
Then can she marry a Kohen Gadol? No. So that's what Rashi says. V'chein linyan Kohen Gadol, the Tanan, it says in Yevamos, lo yises mukas eitz, the Kohen Gadol cannot marry a mukas eitz, hanami asirol, it would also be forbidden. Because she's not a virgin. In other words, interesting. The argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is the girl a virgin if it happened with a stick. Rav Meir says she's still a virgin. And therefore the ksuba is 200.
Hmm.
Right? And then she can marry a Kohen Gadol. She's still a virgin. Right? If you're the Chacham that the ksuba is 100, that means she's not a virgin. She's not a virgin, Kohen Gadol can't marry him.
You're talking about it less than Tili, right?
No. Not mukas eitz.
Okay.
Yeah, much
at this point.
So you're
talking
stick,
about
the
more
stick.
Than TV. Okay.
Yeah.
Could be a surgical
procedure.
Yeah.
If a girl, 15, yeah, for whatever reason, a piece of wood was put in, and she's not a psula, right? She lost the dam psulim. Is she a psula still or not? If she now she's gonna at 18 she's marrying somebody. What do you put in the ksuba?
That's a machloket.
So according to the mayor, she's still a psula.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the ksuba is 200.
What is his logic?
Because if it's not done by a human, it's not the unvirgin.
One second.
Okay. What happens if, according to the chachamim, it's talking about the girl, 18, 15, whatever. Yeah? The chachamim say the ksuba is 100.
She's not
a psula. Now, can the Kohen Gadol marry her?
No.
According to the mayor,
yeah.
Then the Kohen Gadol can marry her. She's a psula.
Wow.
So now, Rav and Shmuel, what we just learned, Rav says that if a katan under 9 lived with this girl, she's also not a virgin anymore. Just like a mukas eitz.
What Chachamim is saying?
According to the Chachamim.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And according to Shmuel says no. Even if you hold mukas eitz is 100, yeah, but that's only mukas eitz. Right? If it's human, it's either all or none. Under 9, Shmuel says there's no such thing as undoing the psulim. But let me just tell you something. The Gemara is going to say soon. The Gemara is going to say a lot of opinions that the whole concept of psulim is only until the girl's 12 and a half.
which means what?
A girl over 12 and a half, mm-hmm. a begetis.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, naturally the psulim disintegrate.
Really?
Back then, probably.
Back then, at least.
Naturally disintegrate?
Or, as today, he puts this in the Gea Halach also. If somebody uses tampons, it's also loved off because she's a psulim. Because the tampons go in, and it could also undo the psulim.
That's considered mukasez.
The pearl's not today. It could be technically considered mukasez. Or I'll tell you another thing. Do you know if a girl goes horseback riding, mm-hmm. a lot of times the virginity gets lost?
Right, I've heard that.
They say that, yeah.
Okay. Now, the pearl today, halachically in the ksubi, you still write psula. Because the question is that really mukasets or not? Right? But I'm just saying it. So a lot of times, you know, a girl might not have dam besulim even today. Because it's loved after the diamond is still there. By some, yeah, by some not. She might not be a besulim. I mean, halachically, yeah, but not realistically.
But the Rav doesn't ask the girl as they're writing the Kusuba if she is on
it. No. Right? They just write it.
But if she wants to get married with the Kohen Gadol, they're going to ask her?
A Kohen Gadol is a whole different thing. According to the Gemara, we'll soon see, Kohen Gadol can't even marry a Begetis. A Begetis.
Because
she's not a Psula. A Kohen Gadol can only marry a girl until 12 and a half.
Can I ask a question? Is it just me, or is it, you know, sometimes...
It's only you.
Probably is only me, but I'm going to ask it anyways, because, you know, every time, we learn the Gemara, different Gemaras, not just this one, but it's kind of like, it sounds like we use Paskin Halacha today with more common sense than was back then. It sounds like today we use common sense. Say, today we don't do that. Back then they used to do that, even though it didn't make any sense to do that.
No. You don't paskin based on common sense.
I know, but a lot of it sounds
based
like
on what the Gemara says.
What the Gemara says, but,
yeah, but
using common sense.
You have to apply what the Gemara says to common sense.
Right. So the things
like,
that didn't
like the world
back
says
then?
Like this. There's four sections of Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
You know, Erechaim, Yaradei, Chesham Mishpat, Evan Ezra, Chesham Mishpat. And then they say there's a fifth Chelik. It's called common sense.
Common sense, right.
Okay. Which is very uncommon, by the way. Common sense is extremely uncommon.
Right. But from learning the Gemara, sometimes it sounds like this. There was
The Gemara had plenty of common sense.
I mean, they have like a lot of arguments.
But the bodies of people were different then. I'll give you an example, even what we're in the issues that we're talking about now.
Right.
In the time of the Gemara, okay, and even later than the time of the Gemara, if a woman nursed, she never got pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
If she nursed, she never got pregnant.
Correct.
Yeah.
She nursed somebody else's child.
No child.
Ah.
If she nursed, she never. Oh, during the time of nursing.
When she was nursing her baby.
Oh, I see. At
for 2 years, what the Gemara used mm-hmm. to, in those days, was 2 years used to nurse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that she wouldn't get pregnant. It's the best method of birth control.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did that change?
Because the body's changed. In Halacha it says a woman's period in the time of the Gemara most of the time was what's called the Kavua. Always the same day. Regular.
Wow.
Okay. Today it's very uncommon. Mm-hmm. It's rare. Okay. The bodies of people changed. That's the fact. Wow. So when you read in Chumash that Rivka at the age of 3, according to Rashi, was going with camels. Or Rachel was a little girl, and that's why Yaakov kissed her, because she was a little girl, as the Mefarshim explained. Yeah?
Right.
So basically, but obviously 3-year-old girls got married. And today, it ain't happening.
Right.
There's no 3-year-old girl getting married today.
Right, you don't see that. Back then, it seems like it's
that
common.
Doesn't mean they were crazy then. The bodies of people were different.
But even a 3-year-old a 3-year-old girl can carry water, large.
But they're obviously bigger kids at 3, and whatever.
Exception.
Back to water for a camel?
How does Rashi know it was 3?
His mother-in-law told him.
Let's be serious.
Rashi says in Chumash. Rashi proves it.
The Midrashim. No, it's Rashi, from Midrash, no?
Rashi proves it because Rivka was born right after the Akedah and this. Tesis agrees with Rashi. Tesis said she was 14.
Is it possible that there was a miscalculation as far as
no.
Missing something missing?
No.
One says 14, one says 3. So it must be in the middle, it must be 10.
Then it's neither opinion. But just for the record, between 3 and 14 is not 10.
Yeah, but I mean, like a 3-year-old girl can intellectual conversation.
Compromise.
And they obviously did. And
feed camels.
They obviously did.
Even now that they are like 5 years old, they can play like a piano, like a Beethoven.
Yeah,
like
exceptional people. Physical exertion. I mean, a 3-year-old girl back then was like a muscular.
10 years old is a surgeon. 10 years old.
Yeah,
in Pakistan. They're exceptional people.
I agree. Except, yeah, right.
Rebbe said also by the Rambam held that, you know, eat this or don't eat this. No, it doesn't happen because the body has changed.
That was a poskim, right? The Rambam in Hilchos Deis gives you a diet. Mm-hmm. The Rambam says, I guarantee if you follow my diet, you will never be sick a day in your life. That's what the Rambam writes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't apply today.
My body changed.
Because not because the Rambam was wrong.
Right.
In his time, he was 100% right. But the body's changed. So the Rambam's diet, a lot of things the Rambam says to stay away from, and the opposite to eat, like fruits and vegetables, it's mamash the opposite today.
Even halacha, like Yisrael Aruch, say do this, do that, it's changed too, or no?
Not the halacha changes, the facts change.
No, why don't they update halacha, though, according to...
They don't update halacha.
Right. About the like eating, drinking, or don't take shower after that. This also body has been changed, loved up.
A lot of things the body's changed.
Wow. So how do we know what to do?
See, that's why you have later poskim to talk about it.
Have they actually updated any halachos today, like in the past 20 years? Has anything been updated based on...
All the modern medical issues are mentioned in the Gemara?
No.
They are indirectly. All the technological issues, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Is mentioned in the Gemara.
Right.
It is, indirectly. So what you need is the application of the modern technology mm-hmm. to the facts of the Gemara.
Right.
Like what?
So therefore, a Rav that deals with this, big Rabbanim that deal with this, right. need to know the halacha well, and need to know technology well.
Yeah.
Like, I mentioned that longest later, right? The Michos Elazar writes, the Michos Elazar was a brilliant goyin, in Aloha, okay, the Mechazullah, the Munkacher, yeah? He writes, you could be eight to things through a microphone or through the telephone.
Really?
Why? He knew the Aloha, but he was misinformed how the telephone works. He thought, telephone, you speak here, the voice comes out there.
Oh, I see.
He didn't know the mechanically reproduced voice.
I see.
Wow. So, yeah. The problem with his psak was, he knew, but he didn't know. So you need to know both. You need to know halacha and technology.